Good morning. I am so glad to see you this morning. I'm glad you're here. I'm glad I get to be with you this morning. So let me tell you a little bit about myself. Am I good? You got me? Okay. Can you hear me, Michael? Good deal. There he is. I didn't get a good sound check this morning. That was my fault. So sorry, Michael. My fault. So discipleship classes. Have you ever heard that term, discipleship classes? Let me tell you a little bit about myself. So this is Harley. Now, growing up, this is what it looked like for me. On Sunday mornings, I went to Sunday school where we learned about discipleship, right? At least we did. And then Sunday night, we went back to church where we learned about discipleship. And then Wednesday night, we went back to church where we had more lessons on discipleship, right? So, and then at night, each night, most nights at home, my dad would lead our family in a devotional time, which is also another form of discipleship. And then also during the year, my mom and dad together would gather together and we would read the Bible through in a year, not a night, in a year. And that's, again, kind of another form of discipleship, reading the Bible through together as a family. Now, I even had my own Bible. This was the first Bible I ever received. It was a gift to me. I was looking at it this morning. I didn't even realize that until this morning. It's a gift to me from one of my sisters, also known as my mom and dad, who bought it and then put her name on it. But this was my very first Bible. I carried it with me as a child to church every time I went to church. So I carried it with me in the mornings. I carried it with me on Sunday mornings, Sunday nights, Wednesday nights. This was my very own Bible. So I had my own Bible. And here's the thing. We did all of this. I didn't rebel even. I went. My parents said it's time to go to church, and well, I went with my parents. They took me to church. I was willing to do all of that. I didn't fight it. I didn't rebel. I actually kind of liked it. Well, I did like it, except for what I had to wear on Sunday mornings. I didn't like that, and I did not like those hard-soled shoes. So I brought you a picture. This Bible was given to me in 1978 when I think I was, 73, I'm sorry. 73, so I was 4 years old when I got this Bible. Here's a picture of me. Nathan, if you'll help us out. This is me when I was 2 years old, okay? In case you can't tell, I'm the only boy in the picture. That's me. And so this morning, I thought I would, in just honor of history, I would wear a little vest today. Well, bigger vest. I have on a little vest. And here's my heart. You wonder where I get my style and shoes? It goes way back. So here's my hard-soled shoes that I did not like having to wear. And so this morning, I wore some hard-soled shoes and a vest. This was my life growing up. This is what it was like, clearly uncomfortable. Look how short my sister's skirts are though. Can you remember those days? I don't know when he was alive back then, so I don't know. But here, my life was, okay, we can move to the next thing so they don't have to look at, my family. This was my life. We were learning, and then there was more learning, and there was more learning. And in America, a family like that, you would say, wow, that's pretty committed. That is a family committed to discipleship. And I tell you what, Bible trivia, my dad and I both have master's degrees from seminary My mom could murder us at Bible trivia. She was unbelievable. Bible trivia. But in Sunday school, as I was growing up, back when I used my children's Bible, I could answer a lot of the questions during the games when we were playing games in Sunday school. I knew many, if not most, of those answers. And so, this is so interesting to me. All through that time, with all that discipleship and all that stuff I learned, I wasn't even a follower of Jesus yet. But I still knew a lot about discipleship because I read and I listened and I learned. So I could answer questions. I could, if we had a test on something in Sunday school, you know, a quiz, I could answer those. I was pretty good at discipleship. And I just find it so interesting that in America, I could be really good at discipleship without being a Christ follower. Now, back in the 1900s, American churches became disciple-making machines. I mean, we had programs for discipleship. Clearly, I was in one, right? We had programs for discipleships. I mean, I think they could have promoted it better. Had they promoted it better, maybe they would have called it discipleship for dummies, right? Or DIY discipleship. I mean, we had program after program after program for discipleship. And it's almost, we really could progress through this program almost like you progress through school, you know? So it was almost like here, as a little boy, here's discipleship pre-K. So go do that, and then maybe you learn some more, and then maybe go to kindergarten discipleship-wise. And then maybe it's like, oh, good job, off to first grade discipleship, all the way through the 12th grade. Then you could maybe graduate, and then it's time, oh wait, there's more. You could do discipleship 101 and 201 and 301 and 401, like you were in college, you know, get more discipleship. And maybe for a few really committed, you could go beyond that and get something like a master class discipleship. You could just keep going and going and going and progressing. You didn't have to stop. You could just keep going and learning discipleship and knowing all about it. Wow. Isn't it interesting, though? In America, discipleship has largely become something you learn, something that where you make progress by knowing. And I'm pretty sure that American version of discipleship is not the correct version. I'm pretty sure it's not a Jesus version of discipleship because something critical is missing. Now, when we look in the biographies of Jesus, which we call the Gospels, we see Jesus calling his first disciples, and he calls them, and then they instantly respond. Immediately, they leave everything behind, and they begin following him. We talked some about that last week. Now, Jesus wasn't walking around saying, hey, I'm going to be a great example for you. Follow my example. That's not really what he was saying. Rather, Jesus was claiming authority, and he was claiming authority that only belongs to God, because Jesus is God. So with this authority that Jesus claimed that belonged to God because he is God, Jesus used that authority to call people to follow him. And it's so interesting. When somebody followed Jesus, the gospel writers did not praise that person and say, oh, look, they've started following Jesus. No. They didn't get any praise. The gospel writers only gave praise and credit to Jesus when somebody followed him. Because of course they would. Of course they would follow Jesus. They knew and experienced him. This was not, and they knew this from experience, it was not just another person. This was not a common invitation that was being given. Jesus calls, they follow, and it happened all at once. Now, there's a word for that, and it's a key part of what we see missing in the American version of discipleship. And that word is obedience. Now, we're not given many roads to faith. It's not like a radio station. So we turn on the radio station. So maybe that's your jam. Maybe that's what you like. So it's kind of like if you choose this station or this version, then you can go to church on Sundays and you don't have to worry about it the rest of the week. It just falls off your radar. But maybe you don't like that version and so you want to switch stations. Let's see. That's fine. There we go. Maybe that's your jam. It's not a good one, but maybe that's it. So maybe that station for you is you don't have to go at all. If this is your version and what you choose on the radio, maybe you don't have to go at all. In fact, you may not even like all those people at church because it's just a bunch of hypocrites, right? You know what? When I was 21 years old, and I was so arrogant, my sister said, I may have to delete this off the recording. My sister said, the one who gave me this Bible, she said, I'm not going to church. It was like, it's just full of hypocrites. It's all hypocrites. And I was like, Ruth, come on, there's room for one more. I mean, we have plenty of room for you. You can join us. But maybe for you, your jam is not church. And so you're like, I don't want to be around all those hypocrites. I'm going to go just worship Jesus, follow Jesus on my own. I don't need all of that. So maybe that. So and maybe that's not it. Maybe you want a different station. Maybe and so you pick a different path, a different way. And so my point is this. Jesus doesn't give us this option of, hey, choose your own path. Choose your own path. We're not given options to paths towards faith and discipleship. There's simply one choice, and it's obedience to the call of Jesus. Let me summarize for you everything that the New Covenant, the Christian scriptures say and talk about when it comes to discipleship. This is a summary of everything the New Testament teaches. Here it is. Jesus says, follow me, run along behind me. That's it. That's the start, the middle, and the finish of what we learn about Christian discipleship. Follow me, he says, and don't stop. Follow me and keep following me. Follow his call. That's all. That's it. When one gets up and follows Jesus, he's going to leave behind his old life. He's going to surrender that old life. See, everything that I have is insignificant compared to Jesus. And we talked about that last week too. Everything that I was before Jesus is insignificant compared to Jesus. And so I take all of that, everything that I am, and all of my old life and context, and I surrender that to Jesus. And here's the word we're using for this series. It is all-inclusive. It's all-inclusive. If I'm studying about Jesus, I can gain a formal understanding, a formal knowledge about who he is. I can get abstract ideas about who Jesus is. I can understand more about his plan to save the world. And I might even get excited about his plan to save the world. But if everything takes place in my mind and in my understanding, if that's where it takes place, in my thinking, in my analysis, I don't ever have to really do anything. I don't have to do anything with that. I can commit to just gaining more knowledge about this amazing Savior, but I don't have to actually do anything with that. Some people call that study and learning. They call that, some people, discipleship. Thinking about God, reading about God, reading His Word, studying. Some people call that discipleship. But discipleship, as best I can tell in scriptures, is you actually following Jesus, the real Jesus, in a real relationship. Americans have bought into the idea of a Christianity without having to have a living Christ being present one-on-one every day in your life. It's a Christianity without what Christian scriptures describe as discipleship. And Christianity without Christ means it's nothing. It's powerless. That type of Christianity can have a lot of known truth, talked about truth, even believed truth. And people can get excited about it, and they can make some good choices because of it, and they can live a more moral life, perhaps. People could even die for that. But Christianity without the living Christ, life on life with an individual, is empty. And I believe that Jesus will most certainly be saying to many people one day, "Depart from me, for I never knew you," which is a relationship. But that's what happens when we develop a system that makes American disciples who know about Jesus but have never been obedient to Jesus. And I know as I say those things, it sounds scary. And it sounds scary to me. And it would be if it were not for this next word, grace. But I'm talking about real grace, costly grace, which we talked about last week. And that kind of real grace, costly grace, is all-inclusive. Where Jesus takes the sins of the world, and I'm talking about every single sin, and your sins from your past, any sins that you've committed today already, any sins in your future, they have all been taken, all forgiven, because they've been placed upon Jesus on the cross, and that is that costly grace. And that grace of Jesus is all-inclusive. It includes all of your sin, all of my sin, from past, present, and future, for every single one of us. It is all-inclusive. And Jesus meets you with that all-inclusive grace because of what He did on the cross. And there's only one response to that grace that is going to change everything in your life. When grace comes calling to you, one response. Only one response works. When Jesus Himself calls you and offers you grace, the only response is obedience. And you follow Him. Now, I want to look at this in real life, okay? So we're going to jump into scriptures. I want you to see an example of this in real life. I'm going to read you some experiences that Jesus had. These were not parables. Parables are stories that Jesus made up to teach a point. We're going to be talking about real people. We just don't have their names, okay? Luke chapter 9, I'm going to start with verse 57. As they were walking along, this is Jesus and his main followers. As they were walking along, someone said to Jesus, I will follow you, speaking to Jesus, I'll follow you wherever you go. Now, he had that right. He had the right words, the right attitude. Yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Jesus, I will follow you. Verse 58, but Jesus replied, foxes have dens to live in, and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head, he said. In other words, Jesus is saying to this guy, a very real person, he's saying, don't you realize you're going to have to leave all that behind now if you're going to follow me? You're going to be willing to leave your comfort behind and willing to leave your security behind. So he wants to make it clear for this person, your whole context of your old life, even the parts of your life that you really, really like, he said you're going to have to willingly or be willing to leave that behind. And that kind of life and that kind of choice and that kind of willingness does not make sense to someone who's not following Jesus. It just doesn't make sense. It is outside the norm. It's extraordinary. To follow Jesus, you must be willing to live outside of the world's normal. Because this grace that Jesus has for us, it's all inclusive. It is all-inclusive, and an all-inclusive grace only accepts an all-inclusive response. In other words, he offers you the all-inclusive grace, and in order for you to take it, you have to say, I'm willing to leave all of this behind, because that's what he's calling you to. You won't be hanging on to your comfort and security any longer. And apparently, even though this guy had great information about who Jesus was and who Jesus is, his response to Jesus, as best we can tell, was just crickets. Just crickets. No response at all. Perhaps he began to think, oh, wait, Jesus, that's not what I thought this was going to be. I didn't think you were going to expect anything of me. I'm not sure this is what I want to be a part of. And if that was his decision, then here's what the decision says this to Jesus. No, I'm not following. I'm not willing to give that up. No. So Jesus goes on. He said to another person, so this is Jesus speaking to a real person, and he gives them a very real, clear call. He says, come, follow me. And guess what? The man agreed. It's what the scripture says. So we can say again, great. That is what we want to hear. We want to hear someone say, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. Scripture goes on. Here's what it says. But he said, oh, I got to pause there. Uh-oh. You know what's going to happen? His butt's going to get in the way. Right here. He says, Lord, first, let me return home to bury my father. In other words, Jesus, I'm familiar with the law. The law tells me I need to go home and bury my father. I'm going to stick with the law. And Jesus, after I do this, then yes, I will come follow you. And I find this just interesting because here we have Jesus who wrote the law, who knows the law, the maker, creator of the law. And we have this Jesus who is then above the law. And he's telling Jesus, who is above the law, creator of the law. Oh, Jesus, wait, I'm going to go take care of this first. And I will follow you later. But I will. Later, Jesus, later. But Jesus told him, let the spiritually dead bury their own dead. Now that sounds confusing, sounds cold. Here's what Jesus is saying. Let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. Oh yeah, it needs to be taken care of. But let the spiritually dead bury the physically dead. He's looking at this man and saying, I'm calling you to life. The burial needs to happen, but let the spiritually dead, which I don't want to be you, I'm calling you to life, bury the physically dead. And Jesus says, your duty, if you're going to follow me, your duty is to go and preach about the kingdom of God. But Jesus is implying, sir, with your response, you're saying no. With your response, you're saying, I will not follow you, because there's only one answer that's appropriate, and the answer is obedience. To follow Jesus means all the responsibilities that we have in life, and yes, we have responsibilities in life, but they are going to be reorganized by Jesus. And next, we discover that not only is he going to reorganize our responsibilities, our duties, he is also going to reorganize, reprioritize our allegiances. So here's what happens next. All these follow one right after the other. Another one said, yes, Lord, I will follow you, but first, another but, let me say goodbye to my family. Jesus, I will follow you. I want to follow you. But we're going to do this, Jesus, my way. And I have some priorities. I have some things that I need to, want to get done first before you, Jesus. So, Jesus, I'm going to set some terms here for this relationship. And I have some things that I want to do first. I'm going to take care of those. And then, Jesus, yes, I will follow you. But I know it looks like you're second, but I do want to do this first. I'm going to follow you my way when the time is right and my timing, and I'm kind of, yes, I know, I'm kind of following my program here. I have a plan, but yes, I will. But Jesus told him, verse 62, anyone who puts his hand to the plow and then looks back is not fit for the kingdom of God. You see, as soon as we say anything or do anything other than follow, we are making it clear that we don't really want to follow Jesus. We're doing what we want. We are going to do this my way is not a way to follow the way. If anything becomes comes between Jesus and myself, and Jesus and me following him, that is not obedience. So immediately after the grace call of Jesus, that grace that is all-inclusive, and he reaches out and hands that towards you, for us to take our first step, it's a step of obediently following after him with our all. His all-inclusive grace gets my all-inclusive life. We're leaving one context. Everything about my old life, everything about me living life on my own terms. There is no, yes, Jesus, but. It's me stepping out of this context and stepping into a new context where my heart says, I'm all in. You have all of me. Jesus, I am all yours. It is all inclusive. It is all of me. If I try to say yes to Jesus, yes to this new context, and I still want to do some living over here on my terms, then I'm not agreeing to the call that he's offering. Because the call is all inclusive, which means my actions, my decisions, my choices are going to prove my real response to Jesus. My real response, if I want to stay over here, if I do stay over here, and some over here, and some over here, my real response is disobedience. My real response is, Jesus, no, I really want your all-inclusive grace. I want everything that you have for me. I want my sins forgiven. I want what you are offering. But my response is not an all-inclusive me. You can have some of me. I'm going to pick a different station. Not your station, but I'm going to pick a different station that I like better. And you can have some of me, maybe much of me, but not all of me. Do you see how... whoa, the American version of Christianity, that is just a light problem there. It's good, they'll come back on or we'll reboot, but I can speak in the dark, not a problem. I think I'm wide enough, big enough that you can see me. You may have to squint, it's okay, but you'll see me. So, because here's the situation. My response that is required is an all-inclusive, you can have all of me. But if I want to stay, if I want some of him and I want to stay a little bit over here, don't you see how this American version of following Jesus is not actually following Jesus at all? You see, Americans, we seem to know things about Jesus, but in America, I want to try to bring with me in following Jesus some of this comfort. I don't want to give that up. I want to bring with me in following Jesus some of this security. I want to bring with me some of the things that I just want. In America, we really want to keep our decision-making for ourselves. We'll allow Jesus to make some decisions, but there are some things we just want to make ourselves. Okay, Jesus, yes, I will follow you and I'm going to work really hard. You told me to. I'm going to work really hard at loving my enemies. I'll do that, Jesus. I'll do that. I'll follow you and I will do what you want. I'm going to move that direction. I'll love them. But Jesus, don't mess with my sexuality. I mean, Jesus, listen, I'll love my enemies, but I want to date who I want to date, and I want to do on those dates what I want to do on those dates. So don't mess with me. Yeah, I'll love my enemies, but don't mess with that. But here's the problem. That's not the offer that Jesus makes. That's not the offer of his all-inclusive grace. If we try to eliminate anything from his control, we are not actually following Jesus. There's only one response when Jesus says, follow me. Obedience. We have to get up and we have to follow, being willing to leave this old life behind, this old context. And this is something that happens, it's ongoing for the rest of our lives. Because here's the truth about this. When I say, Jesus, yes, I will follow you, I want you to understand, when I said that to Jesus, I brought all of my junk and all of my history and all of the ways that I had been and continued to make really bad decisions, I brought all of that with me. So you're saying, Harley, that doesn't make sense then. But here's what happens with this new context. It is a new attitude. Jesus says, follow me. And now I'm back on script, Nathan. He says then, yeah, follow me right here. Harley, this is the step I want you to take right now. Take this step. And then he says, okay, Harley, now follow me here with this step. Follow me this way, Harley. And now, Harley, this step. Now, Harley, let's tackle this habit. Next, Harley, I want you to step here. Harley, let's deal now with this attitude. And Jesus says, okay, no, trust me, now take this step. Okay, Harley, this is a big step. Now trust me here, Harley, with my plan for your sexuality. Follow me here, Harley. When Jesus looked at Peter with his all-inclusive grace, and he said to Peter, follow me. When Jesus looked at James and John, and the lights came on. Thank you, guys. Y'all are awesome. When Jesus looked at James, wasn't it nice in the dark for a little while? When Jesus looked at James and John and Matthew, and he said to them, follow me, there was but one response. They were obedient with an all-inclusive step that said, I'm all in. When I take that step, I'm going to bring a lot of junk with me. I got a lot of junk in my trunk, and it comes with me. And the willingness in discipleship says this, Jesus, as you deal with something, whatever's coming my way, whatever's headed my direction, Jesus, I'm going to go ahead and say to you, yes, in advance. Before I know where you're taking me, I'm going to say yes. And then as Jesus deals with a step and he says, hey, Harley, step here, I've already answered the question. That's discipleship. That's followership. And yes, I'm not saying the step's going to be easy and the step is going to feel natural. No, it may not. Probably won't. But it's a willingness that says, Jesus, I'm following you. And as you deal with me in any area of my life, I'm going to go ahead and say yes, as painful as it might be, and as long of a process. And I will let you know, Jesus has been dealing with me in some areas of my life for decades. I'm a slow learner. It's true. Just ask Vanessa. But the response has already been decided. Because when he calls us with that all-inclusive grace, he accepts only an all-inclusive response that says, all of me belongs to you. Wow. Sorry, Nathan, I went off script. When Jesus called these men and these women, they got up and they left everything and they followed him. They left it behind. That's discipleship. That is followship. And it's all inclusive. All of you gets up and follows Jesus. And everything that your struggles, everything that has been attached to your life, everything, your habits, and you bring all that with you. But it's called obedience because it's an all-inclusive response that says, when you, Jesus, make any demand upon me, whatever it may be, I will follow you. I will be obedient. Jesus, your all-inclusive grace is that grace, Jesus, which takes all of my sin, all of my choices and decisions and hurt, the way other people have hurt me and the way I have hurt other people, and it takes it all and places it on the cross where your all-inclusive grace accepts one response from me, an all-inclusive response that says, obedience. I'm following you, Jesus. Step. Now step here by step, Now step here by step. And I don't know where you're going to take me, Jesus. But I'm saying yes in advance. And Jesus, I don't know what part of my life you want to work on next. What part of my thinking is on your radar? What part of my decisions are on your radar? What part of my actions are on your radar for my next step? I don't know. But Jesus, I'm saying in advance, yes. I will ultimately follow you in that area of my life. And I want you to know now. Before I even know what habit you're going to tackle next in my life, what you're going to address next in my life, this is all inclusive. And the answer to you, Jesus, is yes, I will follow you in that area as best as I can. When you say step there as best I can, I want to take that step. I want to follow you. Jesus, you pick the step and I'll follow you. Whatever you have next for me, the answer is yes. Because of your all-inclusive offer on my life, I want my life to be an all-exclusive exchange. It's yours. And I believe this is how Jesus defines following him. Guys, you are awesome. Thank you. This is how Jesus defines following him. That is the offer, and it is not very American, but it is very Jesus. His all-inclusive grace. So this is where we end today. What's your response? What's your response to his all-inclusive grace? And this is critical because he only accepts your all-inclusive life, your all-inclusive yes. And so maybe we today can get this right now. And I see three possible options. There may be more, but I want to highlight three options that I clearly see. For some of us this morning, it's the first time you've been thinking about transferring the ownership of your life over to Jesus because of what he has done for you on the cross. And 3 days later, he rose again. And we're going to be celebrating that in just weeks away. And maybe for you, for the first time, you are saying, I am ready. I want, he is offering me that all-inclusive grace. And I want to get this right from the start. Yes. From the start, I'm offering you, Jesus. You offered me your grace. And in return, my only response is obedience. Yes, I will follow you and you get my whole life. Maybe that's your response right now. And if it is, in your heart, just simply say to God, however you're putting those words together in your mind, in your heart, he's listening, say to him. Because if you're at that point, it's because he's calling you. And respond to him and say, Jesus, I'm all in. I'm all in. You can have my whole life. Thank you for dying for me on the cross. I am all in. Thank you for coming out of that tomb alive, proving to us you are who you are. Thank you. I am all in. I'm following you. I am now yours. If you made that decision, we often refer to that as making Jesus the boss of your life. I was my boss and now he's my boss, making Jesus the boss of your life. Would you let us know on your connection card? Because there are things we want to email you, to send you links that you can follow to help you get a start in following Jesus. But here's the next response. Here's a second option. And this would be getting it right too. This would be more of a course correction though. Because now perhaps this morning you're saying, yes, I have been following Jesus, but I was under the assumption that I could just kind of do this thing my own way. And I'm beginning to understand that he accepts one response to grace, and that is me, my whole life. I don't get to say, Jesus, I'll do this and yeah, I'll give you my Sunday. I'll do this and yeah, I'll let you take me to heaven. But I'm going to keep doing this my own way, my own time. He doesn't accept. And maybe you're realizing that. And maybe now for you, you are course correcting, saying, Jesus, I understand that. And I am saying to you now, yes, I am all in. That's the attitude of my heart. Jesus, from here on, whatever you say, the answer is yes. And then for the rest of my life, you're going to help me step here. Yes, Jesus, I will. You're going to help me take this. What's next, Jesus? In advance, I say, we're next. And he says, here, and I go. And if you're making that, if you're solidifying that, if you're correcting the course of your life, I would love to know. But here's the third possible thing that I say, because if we understand discipleship the way I have understood it in the Christian scriptures, then it is obedience. But perhaps you are saying, no. Jesus, I am rejecting your offer because I am not willing to follow you the way you, Jesus, have described what it means to follow you. I'm not willing. I say no. And it is an option. And the Bible tells us, again, in Christian scriptures, that many more people will say that than who will say, yes, Jesus, I'm all in. But my question is this, as we end and we pray and we come together and worship through song, maybe we can get this right today. Getting it right from the start or making a course correction. I hope you will stay with us through this entire series as we learn what all inclusive, as best we can, what it really means. Let's pray. God, I pray for those who are making a course correction this morning. God, I pray that you would just motivate them and challenge them, Jesus, to hold nothing back, to say in advance, Jesus, this life is yours. I belong to you. And for those who may be doing this for their very first time, Jesus, I pray that you would give them the boldness and the courage to let us know so that we can cheer them on. And may we have many hearts this morning who are saying to you, Jesus, yes, I'm all in. In the name of Jesus, we pray these things. Amen.